Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Nida Daf Nun. We are at the Mishnah on Mem Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Kol HaKosher Lodin. So back to that opposite track. So we have examples of cases where item A comes along with item B, but not necessarily in the reverse. Not necessarily does item or concept B automatically come along with concept A. We had some examples yesterday. Here comes some more. An individual who is qualified to serve as a dayan in a bezdin can certainly serve as a witness in a bezdin. But v'yesh shekasha l'hoid v'ein kasha l'odin. I'll give an example of somebody fit for edus, but unfit to be a judge. So who's the fellow that we just referred to? Lasu yimai. Who are you including? Meaning who is okay for edus despite being unfit for dayanus? Amar b'yechem lasu yisuma b'achas me'enav. Well, a fellow who's partially blind, one eye is non-functioning. Now Rashi points out, so this individual can serve as a witness as long as he's not fully blind, because otherwise, Rashi brings a pasuk, he has to have some ability to see, otherwise he wouldn't be fit to be witness either. So some ability he has, in which case he's kosher for edus, but not to be a dayan. Umani, who's speaking? Whose opinion is this? We'll turn to the next topic. It's Rabbi Meir, the son of Rabbi Brisa, who Rabbi Meir. Ma'al tam loimar. We have the pasuk that you approach the leaders, the kohanim, and they'll dictate to us regarding all matters of. It refers to nega matters. They'll assess the nega, and they'll also adjudicate matters of dispute. What does the pasuk mean? Alpiyan, based on their dictation, yekol riv v'chol nega, will be all matters of dispute and nega. And the question is, what's the comparison here? What's the connection? V'chima inyan rivim eitzol negoyim. Why we discussing fights and disputes next to Negaim? You would think they're totally separate tracks. For instance, who tends to a Nega? That must be a Kayin. As opposed to financial disputes that are adjudicated by anybody. You don't have to be a Kayin for that. On the other hand, you need to be a qualified a scholar to be a Dayan, as opposed to assessing a Nega that can be accomplished by any Kohen in the street. So why are we comparing the two? Says Rav Meir, I'll tell you why. To make some comparative equations here. Makish rivim v'negoyim. Torah is connecting the disputes to negoyim. To learn. Ma negoyim b'yoyim, just as a nega must be assessed only during daytime. Tachsiv uv'yoyim heroi isboi. It's assessed by day. Af riven b'yim, likewise. Dimei mamonos, financial matters must be adjudicated only during daytime. Uman goyim shlei b'suma, and likewise, just as a neger, can only be assessed by a unblind kohen. He has to have full sight on both eyes. Tachsiv l'chol mara'ini kohen. He's fully capable of seeing it. Af riven shlei b'suma, likewise. Riven must be tended to by dayanim with fully functioning eyesight. And we go in the reverse as well. Omakish negoyim l'riven. Torah is now connecting the assessment of negoyim to matters of dispute. Ma rivim shelo b'krivim. Just like rivim can only be settled by non-relatives, only a non-relative is qualified to be a dayan in a bezdin. Rashi brings the pasuk, l'yumso aves al bonim. Fathers, sons cannot be involved in their af negoyim shelo b'krivim. Likewise, the Kohen who assesses a Nega must be a non-relative. That was the issue with Miriam, right? Hanaviyah, she had the Nega, and the question was, who's going to examine the nega, Aaron HaKohen is a Karev, right? So a Karev cannot look at a nega. Says the Gemara, Ima Riven B'Shloish, Afnagoyim B'Shloish, if you're going to compare the two, perhaps take it a step further, just like a Bezn must have at least three members, likewise, a nega must be assessed by three Kayanim, B'dinu. And it makes sense. Look, Mamoinoi, if a person's merely his money, which is a separate from the person himself, so that secondary element needs three. Mamoinoi B'Shloish Gufoi L'Koshkin certainly pertains to his own person, his own self. A nega, certainly it would need three. Tamalema comes to Pasik. No, even a single Kayan is qualified to deal with it. Tamalema, but who about Arna Kayan? Oil Achad. Clearly, one Kayan is enough. Halamata. That leads to our conclusion. Shafilu Kayan Echad, where is Anagayim? Even one Kayan can see a nega. In conclusion, we see that Rameir, through this comparison between Rivim and Negaim, learns that just like by a nega, all agree. L'chol mar'ini ha'koyin, the koyin has to have full eyesight. Likewise, says Rameir, by Rivim, a dayan must have that ability as well. And that explains our Mishnah. At times, a fellow is fit to be an aid, for instance, if he has eyesight just in one eye, but unfit for a dayan. Whereas the Chachamim, we'll see soon, the Chacham hold, there's no such qualification by a dayan. In fact, there was a story, Ha'usamya, there was this blind man, the Hava Bishop Busid Rabbi Yechanan, who lived near Rabbi Yechanan, Nabukadayan Dina. He was involved in adjudicating Dinim, he was a dayan. And Rabbi Yechanan did not object. Rabbi Yechanan didn't get in his way. Why? Why did Rabbi Yechanan allow this? We have a Mishnah, a Star Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, which is presumably aligned with the Halacha L'Maisa, which doesn't allow a blind dayan. V'amar B'yechan, Halacha K'Star Mishnah, B'yechan teaches that we follow a Star Mishnah, Utnan. And we just had a Mishnah, which taught us that a blind fellow, even partially blind, certainly fully blind, unfit for a dayan, Utnan, Kol HaKasha Lodun, Kasha L'Hoid. But v'yesh shakasha lahoid, sometimes individuals fit for edus, but not for dayonus. V'en kasha l'ladon. Barminan we asked, lasuyi mai, what is this referring to? V'arm v'yechanan, he himself explained to us that it's coming lasuyi sum bachas me'enov. Even partially blind is unfit to be a dayon. So why did he allow that dayon, a blind dayon, to officiate? Says the Gemara, because there's another Mishnah, Masechas Sanhedrin, which allows it, in line with the Shitas Chachamim, that eyesight is not a pre-qualification for a dayonus. Rabbi Yechanan stomach rina ashkach. He found a different anonymous Mishnah which allows it. It's not. We have a Mishnah back in Sanhedrin. Dine mamanus donan bayayim begayim balayla. So unlike Rameir, who holds that by comparing Rivim to Negoim, we learn just like by a nega, it needs to be a coin with full eyesight, and also it has to be during daytime. Vayayim, right? Vayayim yorayis bay. Likewise, Rivim need to be due during daytime. But the Mishnah Sanhedrin clearly disagrees. We don't have this comparison to Negaim. In fact, the Mishnah allows Dinei Mamanus Donan Bayayim, but Vegaim and Velayla. You have to start by day, but you can issue the verdict at night. Apparently, there is no such comparison to Negaim, and likewise, there's no disqualification for a blind dayan. Rabbi Yechanan sided with that Mishnah, and therefore he allowed the neighbor to proceed. And the question is, look, why did he prefer that Mishnah over our Mishnah? Both Mishnahs are Stam Mishnahs, anonymous Mishnahs, and presumably are meant to be followed l'halacha. That's why Rebbe, the compiler of the Mishnah, did not attach a name to it. He wanted it to be just, you know, adopted l'halacha l'maisa. Umay umma d'hai mehai, why? D'hai stama mehai stama, why is that stama in Sanhedrin stronger and more convincing than our Stam Mishnah in Maseches Nida? Two answers. If I say one answer, Stama Derabim Adav. Unlike our Stam Mishnah, which was aligned with merely Rameir Shita, which is an individual opinion, that Mishnah in Sanhedrin is aligned with the Rabim. Shitas Hachamim. So that's preferred. But I say another reason. Mishnah Bektanim L'Gabhichas Adedini. Because unlike our Mishnah Mesechas Nida, was just sort of brought along, by the way, as a sort of a link in the chain, in the string of cases, of these contrasting opposites. So it's not as authoritative as a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Gabi Hilchas Adini, which is smack in the middle, right in the thick of things, discussions about Dinim and Sanhedrin. And if over there Rebbe presented it as Da Mishnah, that implies that it's authoritative. It's meant to be followed, the halacha. Okay, in conclusion, blindness is a disqualifying factor regarding Negayim. According to Rebbe Meir, it carries over to Rivim as well, which the Chacham dispute, and that's how we pass on halacha. Next Mishnah calls for Chai B'Masrus, Mitami Tumas Oichlam. Any type of item, any food material which is subject to halachas of maestris, because it's qualifying food, certainly is susceptible to tuma, which relates to food as well. If it's maser, it's tumas oichlam, goes together, it's food. But it doesn't necessarily work the other way around. V'yeshim mitama tumas oichlam, you can have things which are considered food regarding tumas oichlam, but they're not chayv maser. For instance, asuya mai, asuya basar v'dagim v'beitzim, all kinds of food matter, meat, fish, eggs, they're food galore. They're coming to mas oichlin, but maser is specific to something which grows out of the ground, as opposed to these. Next mishnah called chayv pei chayv masers. Any crop which is subject to hilchos peya, which you have to leave, you know, a corner of the field, a corner of the patch for the poor. Chai v'maser, certainly it's chai v'maser, because, as we've seen in the Gemara, Peah has a higher standard. There are more qualifying conditions to activate Peah over maser. So if it's in on Peah, it's certainly in on maser, but not the other way. Be'esha chai v'maser, so in chai v'peah, sometimes things are chai v'maser, but not in Peah, because it only fits the bill regarding maser. Does not have those qualifying conditions to activate Peya. For instance, Suyamai, what would this refer to? Something which is in on Maser, but not in on Peya. La Suyatain of Yarak. Figs, vegetables. Shenechai Peya, they're exempt from Peya. Because, as we mentioned, Peya has more qualifying requirements, has five conditions as opposed to Masers, which only need three conditions. And the Tain of Yerik, although they have the three, but not the five. It's not. Kalam or Peah. Regarding Peah, we have the following rule. Only something which conforms to the following five conditions is Chayv and Peah. Koshu Eichel, something which is considered food, edible. V'nishmar, so it's edible for human consumption. V'nishmar, it's guarded, meaning it's not ownerless, it's not hefker. It grows out of the ground. It's picked all at once, so the crop is all taken together. This is learned from the Pasuk Tzir. It says, the corner of your katzir, right? So, a typical harvest, a grain crop, is all picked at once. So only something which conforms to that criteria is chayv and peah. And just like grain, it has to have shelf life. It has to be something you can store. Something which contains these five features, chayv peah, and the Gemara will now elaborate on each one. Oichel, so it has to be something fit for human consumption. Muteis fiches tis v'koitza, as opposed to these wild growths of stis v'koitza. These are plants which are used to create dye. Rashi points out, why does the Gemara refer to sfichim, which are wild growth? So he says that Kumudum Ali, says Rashi, it appears to me that the first, you know, batch is edible, but not the subsequent growths. So these don't qualify as oichel. What's the second condition? V'nishmar, as opposed to l'mutim hefker, as opposed to hefker. V'gdum in arts, what is that? L'mutik meim epitrius, as opposed to all kinds of mushrooms, which are not considered growing out of the ground. Something just harvested at once, and mutatein as opposed to figs, which are harvested incrementally as they ripen. Something which can be stored, mutayorek as opposed to vegetables which wither and So regarding peya, the material must have five features. Vilgave maser tanan, but by maser, all you need is three to activate maser. Kosho eichel v'nishma v'gdul min haaretz. As long as it's food, owned, coming out of the ground, it's chayv v'masras. But we need not have those added two conditions. Vilu l'kitosa ke'echa, that one. U'machis l'kim lo'itani, it's not mentioned on that list. So clearly, something which conforms to the three is chayv v'masra, but on chayv v'peya, as per the Mishnah. One more point, says the Gemara, v'mayu behem shumim u'betzolim, although yerek is exempt from peya, doesn't have a long shelf life, etc., but suppose amongst your vegetables you have shumen and betzolim, garlic, onions, these have long shelf lives. Chayav and they're chayav and peya as well, that's none. In fact, I'll prove it to you from a Mishnah, which makes reference to the chayav peya by onions. That's none. Malbunis betzolim shebein hayerek. Interesting case, you have a garden full of vegetables, and you have these malbunis betzolim, these rectangular patches of onions growing in between the vegetables. So they're chayav and peya, as we said, but question is, shall we treat all the onions as one big happy family and only separate one peya? Or shall we say each rectangle, each patch is a separate entity because of the vegetables that are, separating them? Each one deserves its own peya. It's one peya on all the onions. And the Farshim explained because it's the yerek that's growing in between, and the yerek itself is not really subject to peya, so it doesn't make a hefsek, it doesn't make a separation between the patches of onions. So says the Radvaz. Okay. So again, we have the Mishnah, if you chayv and peya, you chayv and maser. But if you're chayv and master, it doesn't mean you're chayv and pay, because pay has five conditions. Oichel, nishmer, gedul min haaretz, harvested at once, can be stored as opposed to pay, which only needs the first three to be chayv and pay. Okay, speaking about materials which are classified as food regarding these matters of master, regarding the matters of becoming tamei, tumas oichlen, Amar Rabba, Bar Barachan, Amar Biyechon. Biyechon teaches us an interesting concept. Sometimes you can have material which can go either way. Dual functioning material. Ulshan, these plants, these ulshan grass, which is actually a bitter, rather bitter herb. It's discussed in Maseches Pesachim, listed amongst the possible maror candidates. So we have ulshan, which can go either way. It can be fed to the animals, consumed by humans. So is it classified as food? Regarding becoming susceptible to tumas oichlen, it depends on your intent. Depends if it's intended for humans. Ulshan shezorim etchilu lebehema. Suppose you planted these ulshan initially for animal feed, which preempts its food status. Uvenimach alein la'adam. You had a change of heart. You said, "Oh, you know what? I'd like to use it for murder." While it's planting, he redesignates it between tamid beis. Shvicha is machshav l'kshitoshu. Sure, you can redesignate it, but only once it's picked. Why? Because Rabbi Yechon holds machshavas chibur, a machshava while still growing in the ground, where it doesn't yet have food status, still in the ground, doesn't. It can't become tummy in the ground. Lo yishma machshava. So the machshava at that point is premature, will not affect a status change. So you must wait until you pick it. It's now considered off the ground, potentially ready for tumah, if in fact you designated for human consumption. Amar Rava, afanan amitanina. I can prove this point from a Mishnah as well. A similar story, where seemingly there is designation taking place, but still early in the game, and it doesn't work. Yud gimel dvarim nemru benivlas oiftar. You have a halacha, interesting halacha. You have a bird, oiftar, kosher type, a dive. Halacha is that bird will be metame a person not by direct contact. There's no tumas maga, tumas masa on this bird. Only upon swallowing it. As he's swallowing it, he shouldn't be doing it, but it's an avela, but if he does, the person and the clothing upon him become tummy. That's one aspect of its tumah. There's another aspect as well. Since it's food material, it also has a very basic, let's call it, the earlier tumah was tumah chamura, a strict, severe, high-level tumah. It's a person and his clothing. This is more of a basic. It's called tumah number one. And that one's tumah number two. So this is a basic tumah number one called tumah oichlan. Like any food that became tummy. In this case, it's already self, has a self-generating tumah. It doesn't have to come into contact with an external tumah source like a sheretz, which typically a banana has to touch to become tummy. Here, it's tummy in itself. It's inherently tummy because, as we said, sometimes even a person while being swallowed. So it has a self-generating tumah apparatus. And it's mitame. Tumah soichlan. So if it touches another food, whatever, right? Now for that, to give it that basic tumah, you need machshava. We're going to see later in cases where there aren't so many buyers. It's in a village where there isn't such high demand for dead birds. In that case, you have to designate it as food, in which case it gets classified as food, and it has tumas oichlan. So again, you have a dead kosher bird. It's certainly metame tuma chamura, to the point that if you swallow it, you and your gadim become tummy. What about tuma kala, the lighter tuma called tumas oichlan, like any other food that became tummy? So in this case, it will have that as well, even without importing the tuma from elsewhere, without touching a sheretz or another source of tuma. It has its own inherent tumas oichlan. And also, another point, it doesn't need hechsher. It doesn't need preparation. As opposed to a regular, standard piece of food, which first has to get wet. It has to get wetted by one of the seven primary liquids, water, milk, etc. Here, there's no need for that, because halacha is, again, something which has its own tumah-generating capacity, tumah chamura, doesn't need preparation. It's tumah inherently. And Rashi explains, the term hechsher refers to the point of wetting it, which is not needed, and also the point of importing some tumah from a sheretz or from elsewhere, come into contact with a source of tumah to become tumah. It doesn't need both preparations. It's inherently tumah. But, as we said, you have to designate it. In cases where it isn't automatically assumed to be a food item, so again, for the tumah chamura, for level 2, it doesn't need machshava, but for tumah kal, to give it a status of tumah soichlan, it has to have status of food. And for that, sometimes you need machshava. Okay, that takes us to the Mishnah. Mishnah Meseches Taharis, first Mishnah. Yud Gimel Dvarim, there were 13 concepts applied. Nemru B'nim L'Asayv Tar. V'zeichad Mem. One of them is, Tzricha Machshava, you have to designate it as food. V'einat Tzricha Hechsher, doesn't need additional preparation. And the question is, why do I have to have a special machshava now after it died? I mean, it was a kosher bird, presumed to be for human consumption, eventually when you shecht it. So, its default status is food. So why reclassify it? Why redesignate it now after it's dead? Says Rava, this supports Rabbi Yechanan's concept. It's all about timing. And the presumed designation during its lifetime is not enough to give it actual tumah after death. Because while alive, there's no actual tumah activated. So you have to wait until it's in a state where it could have tumah, and at that point you have to designate it. Very similar to Rabbi Yechon, who says machshava has to come after it's picked off the ground, when it becomes susceptible to tumah. Same idea. Tzricha machshava and tzricha hechsher. The question is alma. Why do you need a machshava now? Alma machshava chayim leishma machshava. What's wrong with the machshava? It's presumed food status during its lifetime. Alma machshava chayim leishma machshava. Machshava during its lifetime doesn't count. And I'm here as well by the ocean, still growing in the ground, machshava, schir machshava, during attachment, loishma machshava. Rab Zera Amar, no. You can't prove from there. Perhaps that was different. He wasn't around. There was nobody around to grant it that presumed food status during its lifetime. And that's why it doesn't work. We're talking about a bird that flew in from outer space. It just landed on you. This bird that just landed from high, came crashing down, dead. It was never around during its lifetime for us to have that designation. I'm like, Abaye responds, why are you negating Rava's proof? Fine, so in this case you want to say it just landed out of nowhere. But there was a story later on about a tarnagoilis, this chicken in Yavne, where the Gemara later will tell us there was designation. Why? Why is that necessary? If it was presumed to have food designation during its lifetime, Eichel HaMeimer. Amalisi says, no, tarnagoilis barahav. That was a wild chicken, a wild turkey of some sort, which wasn't around us during its lifetime. Tarnagoilis barahav. They laughed at him. How could you suggest it was that type of bird? That's an unkosher bird. But if Tommy become a Tommy, if Tommy doesn't have this tumah that we're talking about today, which is unique to Iftar, so how could you suggest? Only Abaye. If I responded to the negators on Rav Zera, he had said it was a wild one. They said, how could it be? Gavi Rav Amar Moser, let me teach you something. Hello, Moser. When a great man says something, don't just discount it. Don't chuckle at it. Don't laugh at him. He didn't mean a unkosher type. He just meant retarnagoilis shemarda. He means a regular kosher chicken. Just happened to take off on the master. He disappeared. Well, my bro, when he said retarnagoilis, bro, he didn't mean that new species. He meant the vroi mimara. It rebelled from its master. I mean, it turned into a wild relative to its master. It means they disappeared on him. We're talking about a kosher bird, but he wasn't around until after death, so that's why there was no food status given to it before. Rapapa Amar, Tanako to the Agmavoy. He has another pshat. It was a wild type called Tanagota the Agma from the swamp, Havoy, and therefore, again, there was no personal designation during its lifetime. Papa is going according to the Shita, who considers this type, this species of fowl, to be kosher. Dama Rapapa Tanagota Agma. Interestingly, you have two variations of the same species. One is named as like a male, Tarnagoil de Agma. That's also, it's an unkosher type. Interesting. Taisus Mormshat says, it's in the same type. The male is not kosher and the female is. But then he says, no, it doesn't sound right. He says that they were just called that way. It's two separate distinct species. It's sort of subspecies of the Tarnagol de Agma, the Tarnagol Tada Agma, the one called female with a certain type, which was kosher. The one that was given the male name is unkosher, but of course the different types. Dama Papa Tarnagol de Agma Osir, Tarnagol Tada Agma Shari, Simarach, to remember which one is what? Amoinev Lemi on Amoinis. So from the Amoin nation, the males cannot marry into Klal Yisrael, but the females could. So likewise here, the female sounding name is okay, but not the Darish Mareimer. Further on the staff of Mareimer taught Tarnagota the Agma Asira. Ultimately, even though initially the Tarnagota the Agma was okay, but eventually they overturned its status. They gave it non-kosher status. You know why? Chazir Rabban noticed the Darish of Achla. It's exhibiting signs of an unkosher bird. It grabs its prey. Vainu Gerusa, and that's what we call Gerusa. So it's by a different name discussed back in the Chulin, which is a non-kosher type. So you have this bird, a kosher goizel, who happened to do a crash landing into your wine press, and you find him unalive. Now you have a machshava to feed him to a guy. So that gives it food status, and now it has tumas eichon tummy. Lekel of tar, but if you had machshava to feed it to a dog, that does not grant it food status, unless the kavanah is to give it to a person. Rabbi Yechon, I'm af lekel of tamei. He says even if it's for a dog, it has food status and has tumas oichon. In fact, Rabbi Yechon promoted his position with a kal v'chaymer. Amar Rabbi Yechon, benu, kal v'chaymer. It makes sense that this bird will have tumas oichlan even in absence of a proper food designation. As we mentioned before, this dead bird has potential for two tumas. a high level tumah chamura that a person gets affected by when he swallows it, him, his clothing, and that does not need designation. That's an automatic activation. It dies, and it's tumah chamur. Shlev machshav. Lo yitama tumah kalosh machshav. Don't you think the lighter tumah would happen even without machshava? So why do you need designation? Amr loy. Chacham respond. No, you can't compare. Loy im anos with tumah chamur. Surely by tumah chamur, designation is not needed. Shekein eni yeredas lekach. It doesn't submit. It doesn't have that requirement of machshav. Toimah v'tumah kalosh, as opposed to tumah kalosh, which generally needs designation. Shekein yeredas lekach. It's subject. It just means it's subject lekach to this requirement. Typically, for something to have tumas eichon, it has to be labeled as food here as well. Omar lehen, so he responded, tarnagolas should be yavne teichiach. I'll prove to you from the story in Yavne. They had this tarnagolas that died. She read this lekach. Okay, so that was the story we referred to earlier, and regarding giving a tumas oichlin, which typically requires machshava. No, with tumos le machshava, they didn't require machshava. So unlike regular food, which doesn't have tumah chamura, okay, so in order to introduce tumah to it, you have to give it food status. But something which, like we said, is a self-generator of tumah, not only a simple tumah, advanced tumah, severe tumah, tumah chamura. So it's a tumah, factory. Of course they don't have to have machshava. Amr Eloi, Misham Raya. Rabbanu responded, no, the story is different. Misham Raya, Kusam HaYosham V'chosh V'alei L'Achila. There were Goyim there who intended to eat it. So there was Machshav. Okay, so that was the back and forth. And the question is, what's behind the scenes? How do we explain this Machlaikas? Whether or not this bird needs to have Machshava to give it to Masoich. Maya Skidin. What's the circumstance? Where are we standing here? In the cities? In the villages? High demand? Low demand? For these dead birds? You don't remember Karachim, we're sitting in a city. Well, in the Karachim, the cities. Why do we need designation? All agree, even Chacham would agree. Its default status is food. But it's not. You have a carcass of a kosher type animal, which is something which fetches, demand. So wherever it is, v'nivlas eftar, v'achelav b'krachim, or you have a dead kosher bird, which isn't something of such high demand, or you have the fats of the nevela. Sorry, of the fats of a kosher animal, which had been shechted, which is not edible for us, yidden, but a goy would eat it. So where are you? Bekrachim, in the cities, where there are lots of customers, ain't tzrichim le'machshava le'hechshar, you don't have to prepare it to become tummy. Machshava you don't need because it's presumed to be meant for human consumption because of the crowds, because of the high demand, and hechsher, which means, getting wet and all that, is not needed either, as we explained before, because the nivlas behemo, or the nivlas oif, since they have tumah chamura, you touch a nevela, a person becomes tame, you swallow the bird, so that preempts any need for additional hechsher. Regarding the chelev, which is of a kosher shechted animal, the reason there is because the act of shechita transforms it into food, and the blood that's present makes the hechsher, depending on the different explanations back in Maseches Chulin. In any case, Hechsher is already accomplished here. So clearly, in the Karachim, there's no need for additional Machshava to activate Tumas Oichlan on the bird. So why do Chacham require Machshava? The answer is Elba Karachim, Elba Kfar. Apparently we're in the villages where the demand for these items is weaker, in which case, in order to give it food status, you have to have Machshava. Okay, so then the question is the other way. Is anybody that disagrees with the machshava requirement? Why would Rabbi Chaim Nuri discount that requirement? But now we have a Mishnah. A dead, unkosher type animal, which apparently wasn't so exciting. So wherever it is, even in the cities, the demand for that is very, very weak. Or the dead kosher bird in the villages, where demand is weak. In these, tzricha machshava. Machshava is needed to give it food status. Although, vein tzricha hechsher doesn't need hechsher. So, where are we talking? Are we in the cities? Why is Rabbi Chaim Nuri not requiring machshava? Are we in the villages? Why is Chacham requiring machshava? We're talking about a city here. Big city with lots of buyers. And that will explain why Rabbi Chaim Nuri, even if he intended to feed it to our dogs, he didn't give it human food status. It's less tuma. You don't need machshava. So why the Chacham require machshava? We did a land. It landed into a wine press, right? Into the wine. So the wine flavor, which gets mixed into this, it makes it less attractive. And therefore, Gitoy Masasasa made it mius and unwanted, and now we treat it. Vasasa kikfar, treated like a kfar, like you're in a village, which means to say the man becomes weak and it doesn't have food status until it's given food status by way of machshava. So Rosh Hashanah explains, it seems from the conclusion of the Gemara that there is no conceptual machlekes here. Yes, all agree in general. Nivlas Iftar, as we explained, has two aspects of tumma. Let's just recap the whole. Nivlas Iftar can be metama tumma chamura and tumma kala. Person swallows it, him and his begotten become tummy as he's swallowing. All agree for that. You don't need any preparation. No machshava, no hechsher, it's just an automatic activation. Regarding tumas oichlin, to give it plain, simple, basic, tumas oichlin, like any other food, to turn around and be metame other foods, for instance, by way of kant, for that it has to have true food status. So where are we? In the cities. There's no need to give it machshava. No need to give it status, because automatically given that status. And Hechsher doesn't need, that's for sure, because since it has Tumah Chamura, it doesn't need any additional preparation. It doesn't need to get wet, it doesn't need to derive its Tumah Seichon from elsewhere. It in itself is Metamah Tumah Seichon. But in the villages, that will happen, provided it was given food status, you had Machshava to feed it to an Adam. Machlekes simply was in the case where it was sort of in between, it fell into the wine, and it sort of became, you know, not so attractive. Not so appetizing. Machlekes there is. Whether it needs machshava, that will be shita as chacham. Okay, so in a nutshell, we have these contrasting equations. We have a Mishnah where a suma ba'achas me'enav is kosher for edus, but kon to remain not kosher for dayanus. Chacham disagree, they allow it even for dayanus based on a different, Rabbi Yechon Paschal like that, based on a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. We have all kinds of foods which are metame tumas oichlin, but for achi of maser has to be out of the ground. In fact, that takes us to the next Mishnah. There are three conditions for achi of maser: oichel, nishmar, guarded, right, owned, as opposed to hefker, and grown out of the ground. Regarding peah, there are two additional conditions: the ketasa ke'echot and machis l'kiyim. We have the idea of nivla seiftar, which is metame tuma chamura, and regarding tuma kala, it can be metame as well, provided it has food status. Now, something which can go either way, like the morara plant, which can be fed to the animals or used for human consumption. So it depends on the intent. The machshava will make it roi la'achila, will make it tamu tumas oichel, but kontra b'yechna, that machshava has to take place after it's picked off the ground, when it's considered a food item and put open to tuma. Rava attempted to bring a raya to that from the Mishnah of the Nivla Seiftar, which got into the whole discussion of Nivla Seiftar, where we find that it needs machshava only after death. Why not just give it food status based on its presumed status during its lifetime? Apparently, you can't have machshava ahead of time. Only once it arrives at its destination. Gemara sought to negate that raya. Perhaps it happens to be that a bird wasn't around at the time, in which case it wasn't given that presumed status. So Rava's raya was sort of a bit negated. In any case, Rabbi Yechon holds machshava has to be betolosh minakarka. Okay, all the best too, and atzlacha rabba.